Well, welcome. It's good to see you all here today. As you see all the red out here, it almost seems like it's Pentecost today. And in a way it is, because we're experiencing and celebrating a new day, a new beginning, a new vision, a vision that talks about our connection to God, a connection to each other, and a connection to the world. Now, through these next several weeks up through Advent, you're going to be hearing about ways in which we are connected. Today, it's about connecting to joy. Do you feel very joyful today? Well, maybe. I would hope you do. Anytime we gather together on a Sunday morning, it has reason to be joyful, even if we're tired, even if we're thinking about what we need to do after the service, even if there are struggles that we have to face. We should still experience joy. But sometimes, you know, we don't sense that. And part of it is because I think as we look at the beginning of the gospel reading for today, it talks about how the Pharisees and the scribes grumble against Jesus because he is eating with tax collectors and with sinners. That's not something that a decent Pharisee or any Jew would do, because they were considered unclean. And there was quite a ritual that you'd have to go through to become clean if you were to touch somebody that was of that nature. The Pharisees weren't bad people. It was just that they were so focused on doing all the right things and also being able to point out to others the things that they weren't doing correctly. That they began to forget about what it is that God had instructed them to do. It wasn't just about obeying the law, but it was about sharing God's gift of love to all people, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world, to the very people that the Jews began to claim as unclean. And what they failed to see is that they themselves were flawed. Anybody here flawed? Yeah, I think all of us probably should have our hand up. If you don't, I'm going to begin to wonder. Yes, we're all flawed. Not that we need to beat ourselves over about it, but the reality is that we are flawed. And there are moments and times that we ourselves become like Pharisees, and we become almost obsessed. Because it's human nature. It's our nature to point out other people's faults. Recently, if you've been watching the news, you know that there's been a sports figure who has been kneeling during the national anthem, and that's created quite a kerfuffle, quite a conversation. Now, whether right or wrong, I think sometimes we get so quick to judge that we fail to see what other things are happening. I wonder if the camera was to pan around the entire stadium to see all the people that are there, how indeed they also are responding to the national anthem. My guess is you would see that there would be some gentlemen with hats on. My guess is that you will see some people would be looking at their cell phone, doing texts, whatever. My guess is that there are already some people there because of the pre-game celebrations are pretty well inebriated. And I bet you if you looked up into the boxes where all the owners and the folks that are up there, is my guess is that the owners are concerned about what needs to be done with the business of the team, and that there are others that are just simply relaxing and talking until the game starts. There's a double standard, isn't there? Now, I'm not suggesting it's right or wrong, but I think sometimes we need to look at the perceptions and the ways in which we make out things. You know, we talk about our abilities to believe what we believe, but when it comes down to it, sometimes we don't do very well at believing. You know, we talk about our constitutional rights, we talk about the Bill of Rights, we talk about the fact that we, you know, we have the freedom of religion, and it's okay to express that freedom of religion as long as you're a Christian. But if you come from a different faith, particularly a Muslim faith right now, it doesn't seem to be really doing well in this country. You're not allowed to practice your freedom of religion. We say you have the freedom to speak, but if it's something that most people don't want to hear about, they want you to be silenced. So the black man cannot speak when there is something that is unequal. We say that it's right that we all should receive the same pay for the same job, but yet if you're a woman, sorry. You see what I'm saying? We're flawed. And much like the Pharisees, it's really easy if we become consumed with what it is that I want, what it is that I present myself, or that we become so obsessed with being such and such a way that we will never see or sense the fact that we are lost. And that's the amazing thing, is that all of us at one time or another, and I would suggest that it's not just one time that we're lost, but I would say that there have been many times in our lifetime that we have been lost. Oh, we might think we know where we're going, but the reality is that, we don't. You know, men are notorious for not wanting to ask for directions because it's just a manly thing to just get from point A to point B. Who needs to ask? But the reality is we get lost. You've heard some of my stories in the past. You heard about my brokenness with my parents, and that was a period of being lost. Being divorced, this experiencing a death, was a period of time that I was lost. A period of time that I questioned, you know, my call to the ministry. There were times in younger years of my life that I just didn't feel very much like somebody even cared. I was lost. And you know, each and every time that happened, there was somebody that came and spoke on behalf of God. And I'm not saying they said, David, sit down here and let's have a God talk. And so you just tell me about what you think about, you know, what's going on here. A lot of times it was just simply somebody who extended a hand and said, you know, it's going to be okay. And every time that would happen, I experienced joy. I experienced joy also when things are good too. But the stories today in the gospel focused on, there's two parables about lost things. We have the lost sheep and we have the lost coin. And actually there's a third part of this that's not included because it's the story of the prodigal son and it's a much longer text. But each one of them has to deal with being lost. And each one, when the person finds what it is that they're looking for, they celebrate. And Jesus is telling us, in the midst of our grumbling hearts and our grief and our hurt and our pains and everything else that's going on, that God searches high and low, that God looks under the rocks, God looks in the darkest places that we think we can hide, and he finds us. He says, aha, there you are. And while we may be cowering in our corners, it is God who scoops us up and puts us on his shoulders and says, come home with me. And he brings us home and he says, let's have a party, let's celebrate. And that's what happens every Sunday. Every Sunday we come together and we celebrate what we see from the very beginning. We come in and there's the baptismal font, a reminder that God has included us into his family, not because of what we've done, but because he chooses to do that. Reasons for joy. And then we sit and we sing hymns to praise to God and we celebrate. And sometimes, you know, we grumble about new hymns or old hymns or whatever else, but if you look at those words and you listen to what you're singing, it's about the joy that we experience in God. And then we hear the message, the word. Once again, we are reminded of how God forgives us, how God gave us his son that died for us so that we might live. Isn't that a joyful note to know? That God cared so much that his son died. And then he invites us to come up to this great feast. Doesn't seem like much with a little piece of bread and a little sip of wine, or when you dip that bread into the wine, but it's a celebration. It says, Jesus is a part of me, or I'm a part of Jesus. I have new life. I have new experience. I have new breath. The Spirit has moved me to go beyond myself. The more that we get away from how it is that I am perceived as a person, the more it is that I become a servant of Christ, the more it is that I can die to myself and live in Christ, the more I can recognize those moments when I have been lost and when those around me have been lost as well. You see, it's not all about me. As I've said over time, it's not about us. It's about that you have a faithful God that searches everywhere for you and says, welcome, come home, be joyful, because know that you are indeed loved and embraced by me. Indeed, days like this 15 years ago wouldn't have been a very joyful time. But still, the message is, even in the most hideous of moments, even in the times of terrorism, God does not abandon us. Even in the midst of an auto accident or in the midst of the loss of a loved one, God does not abandon us. In the midst of a loss of job or in the midst of feeling disconnected, God has not disconnected with you. So today, I encourage you to be connected to joy. I'm not asking you to have some artificial sense of, oh, pastor's saying we need to be joyful. But what I'm asking you is to look and reflect in your life. See how God has interacted with you over time. See how God has moved you as a member of St. Luke's Lutheran Church or of any community. How God has acted with you as a family. Or in those one-on-one situations when you talk to each other. We are connected. And we are connected because God has chosen to connect us. And we are connected in his love, in his grace, and in his joy. May God's presence in your life fill you with this joy. And may you, in the moments that you feel lost, realize God's going to find you, and he's going to bring you home. And let's celebrate that homecoming every time we're together. Share the joy. Amen.